Welcome to Shirin Tagum Parshas Dvarim. A little bit later on in Perek Aleph, the Torah describes or reiterates the story of how Moshe Rabbeinu subdivided his duties in judging the people. He created various quote unquote lower courts, other Batei Din, you know, to deal with different questions that would come up, that he wouldn't have to take the entire burden upon himself. Of course, as we know, when the Torah first describes the story in Parshas Yisro, it says that this was the Eitzah, this was the advice that that Yisro gave to Moshe Rabbeinu. Here in Parshas Dvarim, Yisro's role in setting up this system is not discussed. It sounds like Moshe Rabbeinu is simply presenting the idea on his own. Again, something which other Mefarshim talk about. We don't see it really discussed in any way in the Targumim. But the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel in particular points out a number of things as we go through the Psukim, some of which find expression in Rashi, which again ultimately comes from the Midrashim, from Chazal. So we'll point out a few of those things as we go through the Psukim. So in Perek Aleph Pasuk Yud Gimel, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Havu lachem anoshim chachamim unevonim v'yiduim l'shivteichem. Take for yourselves people who are chachamim, right? They should be people who are wise, unevonim, and they should be also wise. What's nevonim? So Rashi over here brings mevinim davar, mitoch davar. They understand one thing from another thing. That is to say, and the Yonos of Anuziel echoes this, chachamim means chakimim. You know, they know what they learn. Nivona means suchlisanim meirayon hom. They are wise from their own ideas. In other words, they have the ability to think independently, to take the knowledge that they learned from others and develop it, apply it. You know, they're not dependent on the other person for all of their knowledge. They can figure out, as Rashi says, mevin dover mitoch dover. Okay, so they should be chachamim and nivonim, viduim l'shivteichem. And they should be well known for in your tribes. So that's Rashi. That's the way Rashi interprets the term v'yiduim l'shivteichem, shehem nikarim lachem, that they are well known to you. Sheimba lefanai meutaf b'taliso, eini yodeya mihu me'eze shevet hu v'im hagun hu. If some random person comes up to me, says Moshe Rabbeinu, so to speak, wrapped in his talis, I don't know who he is. Aval atem akirim bo, but you can tell me whether he's, you know him, you know whether he's fit for the job or not. So v'yiduim l'shivteichem, according to Rashi, means that he should be well known by you. In other words, I want to appoint people who I can check their out their resumes and find out something about them that I can know that they're good people. Targum Onkelos seems. Well, we'll come back to the Targum Onkelos in a moment. The Targum Yonasan ben Uziel seems to give a different interpretation than Rashi. He writes that Yiduim l'shivteichem means Morei manda'o l'shivteicho. People who are masters of knowledge in your tribes. In other words, V'yiduim doesn't mean that they are well known, but that they know well, right? In other words, that they have a lot of knowledge, they have a lot of understanding, you know, not just that they're well known. So the question is, actually, before we see what the question is, let's take a look in the Targum Onkelos. Targum Onkelos writes, Umadon l'shivteichon. So the term Umadon l'shivteichon is a little bit more ambiguous. On the one hand, the Yonasan ben Uziel clearly says that they are more manda'a. They are ba'alei mado. They are people who possess understanding in your tribes. You know, in other words, v'yiduim means that they are yodim. They are people who understand. Rashi clearly does not write like that. Rashi clearly writes v'yiduim means that they themselves are well known. Where does mad'on l'shivteichon fit in to this equation? So the Oz v'Hadar quotes from the Marpei Loshon the following. He says, "Lefi akavon onir peirusha shem baali mado." it would appear on the surface that the Targum Onkelos agrees with the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel that Mad'on l'shivteichon means that they are knowledgeable people. Ela shehaloshen sarichian ksas. But the way the Targum Onkelos expresses this is a little bit harder to parse than the way the Yonasan ben Uziel expresses this. Ki mado hu shem hadavar v'lo to'ar ho'ish ba'al hamado. Mado, knowledge, is a description of what the person possesses, not of the person himself. Mad'on l'shivteichon literally means an knowledge in your tribes. Not knowledgeable people, knowledge, which, again, doesn't really make sense. Moshe Rabbeinu isn't telling the people to look for knowledge. He's telling the people perhaps to look for knowledgeable people or people who are well-known, but he's not telling them to look for knowledge. So then he writes, V'yesh nusach umar'on. There is a nusach in Onkelos where if you just change the dalet to a resh, you get the word mar'on, and mar'on is related to the word ra'ava, which means favor. So mar'on l'shivteichon means that they are people who are, who find favor among the tribes. Uchein kasav a Rambam, and so writes the Rambam in his Pirush HaMishnayos to Sanhedrin, Perek Beis, in Hilchos Sanhedrin, Perek Beis, Halachos Zayin, that v'yiduim l'shivteichem elu shiruach habrios nochem mehem. That v'yiduim l'shivteichem means people who are well-liked by the population. V'targum rak eschem yodati l'chon b'chon Yisra'esi. The word lodas can mean not only to know something or someone, but to like someone or something. So v'yiduim l'shivteichem, says the Rambam, means likable people. Right? So far, again, we have three pshatim just in what this phrase means. V'yiduim l'shivteichem, according to Rashi, means they're people who are well-known. In other words, we don't want to appoint mystery people to be in charge of the Batei Din. No one ever knew him before yesterday, but all of a sudden he shows up and we made him a dayan in town. No. We don't like people come out of the woodwork like that. We want people to have a solid, a CV, a history. We know who they are. We know where they're coming from. That's Rashi. The Targum Yonasan ben Uziel understands that they are mori manda'a. They are masters of knowledge. And the question we'll have to come back to is how is that different than chachamim and nevonim? We'll come back to that in just a moment. Finally, we have the Rambam, who says that v'yiduim l'shivteichem means that they should be well-liked by the people. Right? It has nothing to do with their knowledge or their being well-known or anything like that. They should be well-liked. In other words, people who get along with the other people. You don't want to appoint somebody to be a dayan who everybody hates. That's not going to work out well in the end. And the Targum Onkelos is somewhat ambiguous. The Targum Onkelos sounds like the Yonasan ben Uziel, but again, the grammar seems to be a little bit off. And with a change of a single letter, you can end up having the Targum Onkelos come out like the Rambam, that what was being sought after over here were people who were well-liked and got along with people, and nothing to do really with knowledge. Let's come back for a moment to the Yonasan ben Uziel, and then we'll try to see maybe this fits in with some of what we've learned. If the Yonasan ben Uziel understands that the qualification over here of Yiduim L'Shivteichem means that they are knowledgeable people, right? Umari manda al l'shivteichem, they are in possession of knowledge. People who have knowledge. So then how does that differ from chachamim unevonim? Right? We already saw that Rashi as well as the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel understand that chachamim means they have knowledge, they're smart people. Nevonim means that they're intelligent people. In other words, they can reason themselves. It's a step beyond being a chacham, not only did I learn things, but I can apply things, I can extrapolate from the things that I learned to be able to figure out new things. Good, so what's umare manda'a, right? People who have knowledge, where does that fit into things?
Extraneous.
What's that?
It's a little bit extraneous. If you didn't have knowledge, how could you have the other thing?
Right. What does it add to chachamim and nevonim? What's added over here by that? So perhaps one can suggest that the manda'a, which is being described over here, is what we might call in a different context street smarts. Right? You want somebody to be a dayan, right? He could learn all the Choshen Mishpot backwards and forwards, but if he doesn't understand anything about people, he's going to have a very hard time adjudicating, between two people in a dispute, right? The Gemara says that Beis Din shouldn't be done a din meruma, you know, a crooked or perverted judgment. So the question is, what does it mean that why does the Gemara have to tell us that you shouldn't judge a crooked or perverted judgment? We know that the Dayanim certainly are supposed to try to judge honestly. So Tosfos in Sanhedrin writes that din meruma means on paper everything looks a certain way, but the sixth sense of the Dayan tells him that there's something wrong over here. You know, as they say in English, it doesn't pass the smell test. You know, there's something's off. So in order to be able to tell that something's off, you have to have a nose, right? In other words, you have to have the sixth sense in order to figure out that something doesn't quite add up, even though on paper, you know, all the facts of the case seem to be a certain way. So perhaps one can suggest that's what the Yonasan ben Uziel is driving at over here, that the manda'a, you know, the knowledge which is demanded over here of the dayan is, you know, the street smarts, this understanding of people, which in many cases is going to be just as essential, maybe even more essential, than knowing the actual dinim. You have to know the dinim, you have to know the people you're dealing with to know how the dinim are going to apply to them. So, okay, so that's Moshe Rabbeinu tells the people we should find such people, chachamim, nevonim, yiduim l'shivteichem. The people say, good idea. And then in Pasuk Tesvav, we read, Vo'ekach es roshei shivteichem. So I took people, heads of your tribes, anashim, chachamim, v'yiduim. I took people who are chachamim and yiduim. What happened to Nevonim, right? We had Chachamim, Nevonim, and Yeduim. So the Yonasan ben Uziel writes over here, Udevaris Yasreishe Shivteichon, I spoke, I took the heads of your tribes, Va'orechtinun b'milayo, and I drew them close with words, right? In other words, I convinced them that this was a good idea. They had to be convinced to become Dayanim, you know? I mean, not everybody wants to run to this job where they're going to have to adjudicate disputes between people. It's not not a fun job, as the Gemara says in a different context. You know, if you think you're looking for a position of importance, of leadership, srora ani nosem lachem, avdus ani nosem lachem. Don't think that you're taking on yourself a position, becoming a somebody. You're basically becoming a slave to the community. They're going to hack you a chaynik with all of these different disputes that they have. So, you know, so I had to convince them. This follows Rashi. Rashi quotes from Chazal as follows. Meshachtim bedvarim. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I pulled the people close. I convinced them with words. Ashreichem, how fortunate are you? Al mi bosem lehismanos. Look at the people over whom you're being appointed. Al bnei Avram, Yitzchok, v'Yaakov. You're being appointed over the children of Avram, Yitzchok, v'Yaakov. Al bnei Adam, shnikru achim v'reim, chelek v'nachalo v'choloshen chiba. You're being appointed over people who are, you know, described in the most lofty and loving terms by the Ribbono Shel Olam. But, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu had to sell the job, essentially, to these people. Continues the Yonasan ben Uziel. So I took Guvrin Chakimin, I took wise people, Umari Manda'a, and knowledgeable people, Chachamim V'yuduim, V'suchlesonin Meira'ayon Hon, but people who are Nevonim, who understand things on their own, who are able to extrapolate, Lo ashkachis. I couldn't find such people. Right? In other words, I was looking for chachamim, nevonim, and yiduim. The best I was able to find were chachamim and yiduim. Two out of three. Right? Rashi brings this as well. Anashim chachamim v'yiduim, aval nevonim lo motzasi. Right, I was not able to find these Nevonim, apparently of the three characteristics, to find people who learned, yeah, good, I could find that. To find people who have street smarts, they're people with street smarts. Again, that's the way we're interpreting Morei Manda'a, right? But to find people who are able to take what they learned and be Mechadish, to come up with new ideas, in other words, to extrapolate from what they learned and be able to apply it and be able to come up with new insights into Torah on their own, that was a hard sell. And I wasn't able to find in the requisite amount, you know, people who met that those qualifications. Well, remember, who's speaking? So in other words, So Havu Lachem Anoshim back in Pasuk Yud Gimel is Moshe Rabbeinu speaking to Klal Yisrael. Right? So in other words, Moshe Rabbeinu goes to Klal Yisrael and says, this is my laundry list. This is what I'm looking for. And in the end of the day, you know, they come back to Moshe Rabbeinu and they say, well, you know, we're going to have to settle for 67%. You know, we were not able to get the other two. So in other words, it's not like the Ribbono Shel Olam was telling him this. This is just his own desire. Which Rashi?
How does he answer his question? He describes what a Nashim are, but he doesn't answer his own question.
No, so in other words, so Rashi writes, Anoshim, V'chitala, Dadcha Anoshim. In other words, it's obvious that he wasn't looking for women for the job because women would be possible to be Dayanim. Right? So Matam Elohim Anoshim, Sadikim. So in other words, the word Anoshim can't just mean men, Stam, as opposed to women. It means men as opposed to, you know, men with a capital M, Sadikim, great men, as opposed to in other words, to Rashi, it's poshut that the women would not be able to serve in the capacity of dayanim, right? You know, we can't have dayanot, right? And they for sure have to be dayanim, right? You know, it's poshut to Rashi like that. Do with that what you will, but you know that's Rashi saying that's so poshut. I don't even have to. The Chumash doesn't even have to tell you that you know that women are not can't apply for that position.
I wanted to suggest something. What you said before about.
Yeah.
They need to be well liked, or else they won't get to do their job.
Right.
And also, being well liked comes an outgrowth of people recognizing their smartness, you know, their abilities.
Right.
And we felt that we felt that. I don't have what people tell us about their pleasure.
Right.
I have so much respect.
Right.
No, he calls everybody in a safer, he has called everybody to get in.
Right.
He was even good to them.
Right. No, there's, you know, when the Ben Adam L'Chaveiro was present, it influences the Talmud Torah aspect and the acceptability of the Talmud Torah. Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong. Was Cain's colleague's son-in-law, was he a member of these people that were coming in there to serve? Because he was the one who's mechadish all his halachas. I would think he fit the bill of a person who was able to be a divinity.
You know, Osniel ben Knaz.
Yeah, so if he was a member of this tribe, so why not him?
Right. So
maybe he wasn't there. If he wasn't there, then the answer to the question is answered.
Right. It could be, again, just I alluded to this briefly before. When Moshe Rabbeinu says we couldn't find Nevonim, I don't know that he means there were no Nevonim in Klal Yisrael. I mean, that's a hard thing to say, you know. I mean, 600,000 people, you couldn't find a single Nevon, really?
They pass over the halachas going forward if there's nobody there who can
Right. So perhaps what it means is just I couldn't find enough Nevonim that every person who's going to be appointed, remember, there's a whole system.
Sure.
Sorry Alofim, sorry Meo, sorry Chamishim, sorry Asaros, right? I couldn't find enough people that all the spots could be filled with Nevonim. Okay. In other words, if you're telling me that a prerequisite, if we're fortunate, yeah, we have a couple of Nevonim out there, but you tell me a prerequisite for the job is you have to be a Nevon, that's never going to work, you know, because to say that that's, you know, we're only going to take Nevonim. Okay, so we'll fill three spots. You know, I have many more spots than that need to be filled. That's I would think offhand, just even without that kasha, I would think that mistama, that's what Rashi and Chazal mean, because just hard to imagine there wasn't a single Nevon in Klal Yisrael,
right,
you know, to fit that description. There weren't enough.
Would not Rashi or somebody expand on that? Not say did not find.
Maybe it's so poshut that, right? Maybe it's so poshut you don't have to say it. I don't know. Maybe we're supposed to extrapolate that from Rashi.
But I'm not in the voting, so I can't.
Right, I hear. I don't know. Yeah.
You know, as far as Moshe Rabbeinu trying to duplicate the system that his father was suggesting, you know, earlier in the Pasha's history, and Pasha's history, so that's a the thing is, he's talking to the next generation. This is a generation after, a whole generation after Kabbalah's Torah.
Right.
So everything is on a much more different level, on a more sophisticated level, and the male of the people that are needed, and all of the needs,
Maybe there were no Nevonim then, but there are more Nevonim now. Maybe that's what's up.
Yeah, or maybe could the be. People have different types of questions and right. certain things that
right.
what bracha do you make on a glass of soda?
Right.
Maybe
right.
you know, maybe it's more partial. Well, that's not a good example.
Maybe it could be. Okay. So after the Dayanim have been picked, so the Pasuk says Zayin, V'atzavis shofteichem bo'isahi leimar, I commanded the judges, your judges at that time, saying, Shamoa ben acheichem, listen between your brothers, u'shvatutem tzedek. And you should judge in a way which is righteous. So, what do those terms mean? In other words, if shvat, let's just start with the last phrase. Shvatatem tzedek, if that simply means, you know, judge correctly, that seems so obvious as to not even require a statement. You know, I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu is appointing judges. Of course, the expectation is that they're going to judge fairly and correctly, right? Why would we think otherwise? And what's Shamoa ben Acheichem? Shamoa ben Acheichem simply means, you know, listen to both sides of the dispute. So again, it seems so obvious as to not even require elaboration. I mean, again, unfortunately, sometimes people, you know, judge with only hearing one side of the dispute, but we would expect that it's almost self-evident, should be self-evident, that if people are going to serve in the capacity of Dayanim, they have to hear both sides of the story. So what's being conveyed over here? So here too, the Yonasan ben Uziel fills in some of the gaps. Upakedis yosdayin echon bidona hahi, I commanded your judges at that time, yasidre dinayo, I told them the seder hadin, I told them, you know, the order of all of the dinim, you know, all of the dinim they would need to know in order to judge properly. Lemeimar saying, "Kabilu min acheichon, listen and to your brothers." What does that mean? Delo yimalo chad kol miloi v'chad mekata miloi. Make sure there's no situation where one of the sides, one of the litigants, says his piece in full, and the other one doesn't get to present his entire argument. It's self-evident that, you know, to only have one side present an argument and not the other, that certainly you're not going to judge on the basis of that alone. It doesn't make any sense. But sometimes you could have one side that just speaks more, and the other side is sort of bullied into silence. Not silence, you know, but is mekatzer, doesn't really hold forth fully with its arguments. And sometimes it's a dayan. You have to try to coax out of one of the sides, one of the litigants, everything that they have to say. Some people are very quick to talk. Some people are very reticent to talk. So you have to make sure that each side says everything that it wants to say fully. And that's part, again, going back to what we said before, that's part of the street smarts that the dayan has to use in order to be able to figure out when one person needs to be coaxed to say all of the things that they really want to say. So that's Shoma ben Acheichem. Make sure that each side is heard fully. Over the Mishmatun Mileyon, and furthermore, when you hear the words being presented, Les Efshalachon Delo Limidon Hon. You are no longer able to recuse yourself and say that you don't want to judge them. Right? The Sifri writes, Shimboim Shnaim Lefonecha. If two people come before you to adjudicate a dispute, ad shlo tishma lo divrayem, until if they haven't yet presented their arguments, ato rashai l'shtok, you can say, you know, I don't want to handle this. You know, you don't have to get involved in every din Torah that necessarily comes your way. Misha tishma lo divrayem, but once they present their words, you know, and each side presents what it has to say, ato rashai l'shtok. At that point already, by listening to this, to the two sides present their perspectives, each one presenting his tainas, you've already essentially agreed to judge the case. At that point, you can't recuse yourself anymore and say, well, you know, actually, it's just kidding. I just looking for some entertainment this afternoon, but I don't really want to judge the case. So that's Shomoa ben Acheichem Ushvatetem Tzedek. In other words, according to the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel, by listening to them, you have accepted upon yourself to then judge the case.
If a judge should hear information that cause a conflict of interest.
Right. Right, but
would he be allowed to...
Yeah, but we're not talking about a conflict of interest. We're just saying a lack of interest or a lack of, you know, the person, the dayan says, well, at this point, I just don't want to get involved anymore, you know? On some level, by hearing the case, you've already, you know, shamoa ben acheichem ushvatetem tzedek. You know, the fact that you've already listened means that you have to accept this upon yourself. Usedunan dino bikshot. You should judge the din with truth. That's Ushvatetem Tzedek. Upashrus Shlom. But you should also endeavor, says the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel, to create a pshara, a compromise, that brings about shalom, that brings about peace between the parties. And that's a sugi in the beginning of Sanhedrin that talks about the fact that really what a bezdin, in many, many cases, if not all cases, should endeavor to do, it's not so much to judge according to the letter of the law, the din, but to find a pshara, a compromise that's krova l'din, that reflects, in general terms, what the din itself, the letter of the law, would indicate. But always try to find some kind of pshara, that the two sides should walk away, not just getting truth, but getting something that satisfies each one, at least on some level. You're never going to be able to make everybody entirely happy. Right, but sometimes you can make people happier than they would have been. You know, if there's a clear winner and a clear loser, clearly one person is totally not happy. But sometimes a pshara, again, depending on the situation, can make them walk away better. You know, both feeling like they were heard in a way in which just the strict letter of the law wouldn't have done that.
I find it hard to believe that Hashem would command something that's in, at least at some point, required.
Right, and Ochinami. Again, that's why I'm stating this very carefully. There are some times where pshara is simply not going to be an option, and pshara would, Reuven walks up to Shimon and smacks him and batters him to a pulp. But sometimes there are things that are somewhat gray, and one person is more right than the other person. So in those kind of cases, pshara would be appropriate. That's Ushvatetem Tzedek. That's the way the Yonasan ben Uziel understands what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying. You should judge in a way which is tzedek, which is appropriate, which brings to justice. Meaning, sometimes the best way to get to justice, in the sense that not just figuring out objectively what's right, but getting everybody back together again, is this pshara krova l'din. And that's what's being hinted at in the pasuk according to the Yonasan ben Uziel. Okay.